I'd like to begin with a very familiar passage in this 22nd chapter of Genesis. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Said, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him. Now, first of all, we read in the New Testament that let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, because God does not tempt man with evil. The better interpretation or translation of this word tempt was that God tested Abraham. God was testing Abraham, how far are you willing to go for me? And I think that's a fair question for us this morning. How far are you willing to go for God? Where will you draw the line? And so it said, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. I think it's very noteworthy to start with that when God called, Abraham answered. Do you know that it's important for us this morning that when God calls for us to answer? Have you ever noticed with little children sometimes, or maybe a little bit older children, when you call them, if they don't answer, they can act like they're ignoring you. Because when they respond to you and you know you have their attention, it brings about accountability, doesn't it? And so that's why it's important for parents to teach their children, when I call your name, you don't just wait for me to say something. You respond, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And you look at them in the eye, you make connection, because that brings accountability. Children that don't respond when they're called need to be taught a little bit differently, don't they? When they're called, they need to respond. But spiritually this morning, it's imperative when God calls that we answer. And so Abraham responded and he said, here I am. Lord, what do you want me to do? Are we in that place this morning that when the Lord calls our name, we are willingly ready to answer Him and say, Lord, I'm right here. Here I am, Lord. And He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Why do you think God told Abraham that, that son that you love? I mean, Abraham knew he loved his son. This was part of the test. You know what I did for you? You know that job that I gave you? That job you really enjoy? I've got something I'm going to ask you now. You know that what I gave to you? Do you know many? Because Isaac was the son of promise, wasn't he? And so now we read that God's telling Abraham, he said, take that son, your only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, Moriah was a mountain range around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was surrounded by mountains, and it was on Mount Moriah that Solomon built the temple. And it was 3 days, and we can read here, but Abraham took a journey for 3 days to go to where Jerusalem was, to Moriah, where eventually it was going to be built, where the temple was going to be built. And there's some symbolism in all of that, and that's where he offered his son. Was not Christ offered at Golgotha? He was outside of Jerusalem. And that was in that Moriah mountain range. There's some symbolism there as well. But it was like the Lord was telling him, I want you to take the son, your only son. Who gave Isaac to Abraham? It was God. Do you realize that sometimes when God gives us things, people hold on to it and say, God gave me this, and they hold on to it with all their worth. But do you realize that what God gives to us, He wants us to be willing to come to the altar of obedience and give it right back to Him? Lord, the Lord giveth and the Lord does what? the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. There are sometimes people say, the Lord gave me this job and I'm not gonna change. I'm not doing this. God gave it to me, and they're not willing to consecrate it back to the Lord. The Lord provided me with this money. The Lord gave me that so I can use it. And the Lord may turn right around and say, now I have something I want you to give it to someone else. And you say, but God gave it to me. It's the same way with the callings in the body of Christ. I will say of ministry. You say, well, the Lord was the one that called me to ministry. And the Lord comes right back and says, yes, but will you give it back to me? Everything that God gives to us, He wants us to have a heart and a willingness to say, Lord, everything is yours. And so Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And as Paul Harvey said, you know the rest of the story? You know what the rest of it is? But I want us to understand, Abraham got up early in the morning. I've wondered about that before, because here God is saying, I want you to offer your son to me. And I know God was not into human sacrifice. That was wrong. That was taught against. The heathen did that. And yet God was testing, will you be willing to dedicate and give your son back to me? And I don't know what all Abraham knew. I wonder if Abraham had a sleepless night. Was he awake through the night? Was he wrestling in himself through the night? But I know this, it says Abraham got up early in the morning. And I want to encourage us this morning that we need to get up early in the morning to be obedient to the Lord. He was on his way to an altar of sacrifice, but before we get to the altar of sacrifice that has any merit, we need to go by way of the altar of obedience. Too many times the Lord requires something of us or asks us of something, and He has a job for us to do. He has something He wants of us, and or maybe there's something the Lord has put His finger on in your life, and He says, I want you to stop doing that. This is not good for you spiritually. Are we getting up early in the morning by way of the altar of obedience and say, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do? I know there are struggles because we're flesh and we wrestle. And sometimes it's, Lord, I know what you want me to do, but I just, Lord, help me to do it. I'm wrestling with that. But have you ever slept in? Anybody here ever slept in the morning? Have you ever slept in on doing God's will? And you delayed. It was delayed obedience. Abraham got up early in the morning. I think, you know, sometimes we take our time. The Lord's asking something, and this is hard. This is hard, and I'm not quite sure I want to make that change in my life. And so we kind of dilly-dally around and kind of, we know what God is asking of us. I want to encourage us this morning to get up early in the morning spiritually. By that, Abraham got up early to obey God. And as you know the story, when he took Isaac up there and laid him on the altar and bound it, the Lord provided a ram in the thicket. The Lord wanted to know where his consecration was. He wanted to know if he would come to the altar of obedience. The Lord is looking for a people this morning that will come to the altar of obedience. A place of submission to the Lord where we say yes to the will of God in our life. There are struggles and there are alternatives. It's what a large number of what the Christian world is doing today. Many churches and many religious organizations are coming and saying, yes, but we will make a sacrifice. Abraham could have very easily gotten up early in the morning and said, Lord, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find the best lamb I can get. I'm going to go out and I'm going to take 10 calves and I'm going to offer them to you. What a wonderful sacrifice to make to the Lord. But do you recognize that is not what God had asked for? Sometimes we try to circumvent the altar of obedience by way of the altar of sacrifice. Lord, I'll give this to you. And the Lord says, Michael, I want you to go over here and do that. And I say, Lord, I'll go do this. And Lord, do you know I really sacrificed? I really gave more than what I was able, Lord. And the Lord says, that's not the point. The point is, I wanted you to do this. But Lord, I've really sacrificed and I've really given and I've really done this. And Lord, I've given so much for you. I gave my time and my energy and my money. And Lord, I gave all of this, the altar of sacrifice. But what are we doing with the things God is asking of us? We cannot minimize God's call on our life and circumvent the altar of obedience by way of the altar of sacrifice and say, but Lord, this is what I've done. Abraham had a pattern of obedience to the Lord. The scripture over in the book of Genesis, we read the rest of this, but in Hebrews 11, 8 as well, it said it was by faith that Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out not knowing whither he went. The Lord had called Abraham to get out and go to a land. He didn't know where he was going. I know many of us like to have our ducks in a row. We like to know exactly what's going to happen, and I'm going to do this and then I'm going to do that, and we like to plan. But are we willing to obey God when we don't know where it will lead us? The Lord is calling all of us this morning to a closer walk with Him. He's calling all of us to draw closer to Him. He wants us to be more like Christ this morning. He wants us to do more in the work of God. He wants us to do more for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. But let's not justify ourselves by our sacrifice. But Lord, I'm willing to step out and I don't know where it's going to take me. It's kind of like Peter when they were on the boat, on the ship, and he's like, Jesus was walking on the water. And he said, Lord, if it be you, call me to come to you. And Jesus bid him come, and Peter stepped out of the boat. Do you know there had to be some uncertainty there? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm going to be next year. I don't know what's going to happen. But Lord, according to your word, according to your word, I'm going to get up early in the morning by way of the altar of obedience, and I'm going to say yes to the Lord. I wonder this morning if there is someone here that has been struggling with obedience. And if you have, you're not alone. And yet, when we obey the voice of the Lord, we will find He has a ram in the thicket. When we obey the voice of the Lord, we're going to find out when He asks us of something that's hard to do. When the Lord asks us of something that it doesn't really matter anyway, there's no sacrifice. When it's something that we hold on to and it's something we love. See, this is your only son. You know the one you love? He's the only one you got. That's the one I want you to sacrifice. If you say, but Lord, I could use it better in your service if I were to keep Isaac and I can use him to do this. And it's like we start telling God what's most effective. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now our prayer should be, Lord, give me the strength to follow through. Lord, give me the strength. But saints, we need to get up early in the morning. And so the scripture over in Isaiah says, the willing and the what? The obedient. The willing and the obedient shall do what? Eat the good of the land. Do we want the good of the land this morning? It's not just willingness, it's obedience. It's actually doing what God wants us to do. So when God is asking something of you in your personal life, and the Lord has put His finger on something in your life, we don't need to be afraid of doing the will of God. I know it's uncertain sometimes. And I know we don't know what the end is going to be all the time. But I know this, God promised us if we would obey Him, we would eat the good of the land. There are blessings and there are rewards to being obedient to the Lord. Is there sacrifice? Yes. Do we give some things up? Is it always easy? No, it's not always easy. But there is a blessing when we obey the word of the Lord. And ultimately, we have eternal life. But even in this life, some of the greatest sacrifices that we can make for God in accordance to the altar of obedience, the Lord is there to bless us for that sacrifice and that obedience. So if there are things the Lord has been talking to your heart about and you've been struggling with it, it's like, I don't know what's going to happen if I do this. If you know that the Lord has spoken to you, I want to encourage you to get up early. And if you have been sleeping in, the Lord's still giving you opportunity. May you've been sleeping in delayed obedience. I would rather a child that has been given a job come, if they have not been obedient, to come back and say, I'm sorry, I will do that now. I should have done it earlier, but I'm going to go do it now. That's what the Lord wants of us as well, to be obedient. There is another scripture that we'll look at here, another example of Saul. But I want us to know very practically this morning, there is no family, no job, no dream, no goal that can bring fulfillment and the blessings like following the Lord can. Let's not cling so closely. There are some people, they make exceptions in their life of obedience because they say, well, I'm thinking of my family, or I'm thinking of my job, or I have these plans and I need to. There is nothing more important than saying yes to the will of God this morning. The Lord will take care of your family. The Lord will take care of your job. The Lord will give you some new dreams. The Lord will give you some new plans. There is no greater fulfillment than doing the will of God in our life and following the plan of the Creator, but it's going to take obedience. And I know we can get ourselves in some tangles sometimes. And there are times that people have messes in their life, and it's like, what do I do? And I don't have all the answers this morning, but I know this. I can tell someone this. Listen to the voice of the Lord. And if the Bible teaches something, obey what the Word of God says. The Lord will take care. He can untangle messes this morning. The Lord can do in our lives what we can't do for ourselves. But our job is to get up early and say yes to the Lord and come to that altar of obedience. Over in 1 Samuel, there is a wonderful example, but it's a very sad example of a man that had been given instruction and he knew what the will of God was, and that was King Saul. Remember, and we won't take the time to read it all this morning, but in the 15th chapter of 1 Samuel, King Saul was going out to do battle, and God gave instruction very clear to Saul. He said, I want you to destroy everything. I don't want you to leave any of the animals. I don't want you to keep anything. I want you to destroy the enemy, and I want you to destroy all of their goods. Do not keep anything. Very clear. Do you realize there's a lot of things that are taught in the New Testament that are very clear? This is God's will. I don't have to say, well, Lord, is it your will? I was in the store the other day, and I saw something. Is it okay if I steal that? I don't have to pray about that. Now, I may have to pray the Lord help me not to steal it if I'm being tempted, but I know what the Word of God says. I'm not supposed to steal it. That's God's will. So I want to be obedient to His will. Our prayer is, Lord, help me to follow through in obedience. So Saul knew what the will of God is. That's the point. He knew what God was asking of him. And then we read that Samuel, the prophet, came back to Saul. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Now, this is after Saul kept back some of the sheep. They kept back some of the best ones. And Samuel said, What meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You just said you've obeyed the Word of God. You just said you did what you were supposed to do. And why am I hearing the bleating of sheep? Do you know what I've noticed about people that profess to be Christians? I've noticed it here in the United States, and I've noticed it in a lot of other countries. I've been in a lot of countries. They can out-pray you, and they can out-testify you, and they can out-spiritualize in their talking. A lot of people, they can talk real spiritually. It seems like sometimes I've met people and they find out I'm a minister or I'm a missionary, and all of a sudden, it's like they want to have this one-upmanship to tell something what they've done. They're doing this and they're doing that. Do you know what we're doing is immaterial to the Lord? He wants us to be walking humbly in obedience to Him. But this is what Saul did. When he saw Samuel, he said, "Oh, blessed be thou of the Lord." Sounds spiritual. You know, we can talk the talk, and we can say the right words, and we can use spiritual lingo, and we can make everybody around us think, "Oh, blessed be thou of the Lord." Can you just see him? He said, I've done what the Lord said, but why do I hear the bleating of the sheep? And Saul said, "They brought them from the Amalekites." They. Do you notice where he started putting the blame? And where there's, you can go through this whole story, and there's a lot of that in here, a lot of justifications. But he said, "They brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared." Now he's distancing himself. "For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord God, and the rest we have destroyed." In other words, we kept some for sacrifice. But we've kept the commandment of the Lord. The Lord said, destroy it all. And then in verse 22, it says, "Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than what? Than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king." And there's a lot more in this passage, but what I want us to get hold of this morning is that obedience is better than sacrifice. We can talk about the altar of sacrifice this morning, but let's talk about the altar of obedience. He justified disobedience by the sacrifices they were planning to make. And I wonder this morning, have we ever been guilty of doing the same? We can read this story and think, "Oh, Saul." But have we ever justified disobedience in our life because of all the sacrifices that we're making for the Lord? There's something better than sacrifice. There's something more than the money in your bank account. There's something more than your job. There's something more than your time. And all those things are important to sacrifice. But the Lord wants our obedience. He's asking for obedience. And oftentimes, the obedience, I'll just be real frank, this is personal, and it may be the opposite for you, and that doesn't make any one of us more spiritual than the other, okay? I find the things that I struggle with more are probably some of the smaller, more insignificant things. When the Lord comes along and says, "Give me your son," it's like, "Lord, I'll get up early. Here's my time, here's my money, here's my life, here's my dreams, here's my plan. Lord, you have them." But sometimes he comes along and puts his finger on a little thing in life. It seems like there's a little more struggle with that sometimes. Maybe, can some of y'all relate with that? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So I don't know how the Lord's been dealing with you in your life today. But I want to remind you that obedience to the Lord is more important than the sacrifices that you make. And we need to come to that place of surrender. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, he said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" In other words, it's not enough to talk. It's not enough to come to service. It's not, those are important. It's not enough to testify. It's not enough to sing. It's not enough to go out and witness. It's not enough to say, "I'm a Christian." It's not enough to sacrifice. He wants us to be obedient to the things that He's called us to do. A lot of that's spelled out right here in the Word of God. How are we doing this morning? I don't want to be one that just says, "Lord, Lord," and then does my own thing. But I want to be one that says, yes, Lord, I'll get up early, and by your strength, I'm really struggling, Lord, and I don't understand why, but Lord, help me to follow through. Help me. And this is where Jesus, before he went to the cross, which represents sacrifice, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, to an altar of obedience, which was a place of surrender. And Jesus' prayer was, Father, if it be willing, remove this cup from me, but if not, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That was the altar of obedience. It was a place of surrender to the Lord. And what we surrender to, that is who we are servants of this morning. So what is our motivation for obedience? Well, as we close and bring this message to a conclusion, what is the motivation for obedience? If it is anything but our love for God, it's not going to have merit and it's not going to have value. We can give all of the sacrifices, though we give our body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So all of the sacrifices are in vain unless we are motivated by love. And do you know when we're motivated by love, it helps us get up early in the morning. There's a passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles 25:2. It's talking about one of the kings. It said, he did that which was right in the sight of God, but not with a perfect heart. Have you ever watched a child do something that you told them to do and they went away with a clenched jaw or just looking really fierce and you knew they weren't happy, but they were going to go do it and they went and did what you said to do? Do you recognize that that's wrong and that needs to be dealt with in a child that does that? And they'd be, well, I'm doing what you told me, but that's not enough. Your spirit, your attitude's wrong. What about in our walk with God? We can say, but Lord, I obeyed you. But what was the motivation for our obedience? Are we doing it begrudgingly with an attitude? And it's like, okay, I'll give it or I'll do it or I'll give it up if I have to. And all the time there's this spiritual eye rolling going on. Or do we come back and say, Lord, I love you. And I'm struggling with this, but Lord, I want to be obedient to you. So Lord, according to your word, I love you more than anything else, and I will kneel down at the altar of obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. Trust the Lord will bless you this morning. When the Lord talks to you, I would encourage you to answer and respond and follow Him and know that when you are obedient, the devil will paint a lot of dark pictures. But what if this happens and what if that happens? I have to leave the future in the hands of God and say, Lord, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know you're with me today. And in accordance to your word, I'm going to come to the altar of obedience. And God will be in our tomorrows with blessings as we follow Him. Amen.